You know what, Rafer?
What, Kristen?
I know a game that you like to play.
Okay, what is it?
The game is called Would You Rather.
Oh boy.
You love Would You Rather. Mm-hmm. You just love it.
Okay, lay it on me.
Okay. So here's today's round of Would You Rather. Would you rather be kidnapped by a zombie who's in love with you? Or would you rather be forced to work with a racist hitman who wants to kill you?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one, isn't it? Well, for me, it's hard for me to imagine the zombie that would fall in love with me. If it's, you know, pretty girls, they probably know the feeling. But for me, it's hard to imagine. And so I guess I'd have to go with the hitman. I feel like I'd have a better shot at escaping or something with the racist hitman if he was. Well, you know, how racist would he be? Hey, you know, against half Mexicans.
You'd be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
You would be surprised.
That's true.
You'd be totally
That's
surprised.
True, Kristen. You're
so you're
right.
Going to choose the racist hitman.
I go racist hitman.
Oh, I go zombie love kidnapping all the way.
Oh, I know you do. I know
zombie
that.
Zombie kidnapping love. Yes, I'll do it. But you know why I'm asking this.
Well, of course, because we have the two big movie releases this weekend. One, of course, is the zombie romantic comedy, the Zom rom-com Warm Bodies.
You just said Zom rom-com.
Of course. What else are you going to call that?
Oh, that's awesome.
And, of course, about a lonely young zombie who falls for a mortal living girl. And then Bullet to the Head with Sylvester Stallone as the aforementioned racist hitman. Kristen, let's do this.
I'm ready to do it. Watch out, Rafer.
All right.
Would you rather introduce yourself or have me introduce myself? Too late. I'm doing it right now. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
All right, Rafer, we have a very exciting Would You Rather sort of day going on. But the first thing we'd rather do is look at last week's trivia.
Yes.
So what was last week's trivia question?
Okay, last week's trivia question in honor of a movie that you reviewed quite positively and about which I remain dubious, and that is Hansel
and Brother, Sister, Love.
Brother, Sister, Love. Boy, Would You Rather. Hansel and Gretel. Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. And in honor of that movie, we asked that we said this was not the first time that Hansel and Gretel had made it to the big screen. And in fact, we'd seen them pretty recently within the last couple of years. And we asked in what movie that was. It was an animated film. What was the name of the movie? And who provided the voices? And we got this very succinct answer from Brad Goodall in Lewisport, Kentucky. And he said tersely, trivia answer, Hoodwinked 2. Actors Amy Poehler and Bill Hader as Gretel and Hansel. I win.
And yes, you do.
You certainly do, Brad.
There's no two ways about it. You're the winner of this round of Would You Rather.
Succinctly said.
And this week, we have a trivia question in honor of Warm Bodies and kidnapping romances, which are, of course, a very popular genre in Hollywood.
Indeed.
As long as there's been romance, as long as there's been Hollywood, there's been kidnapping romance.
There's been forcible kidnapping.
There's been abduction love. And one of the movies that fits into this genre features Angela Lansbury singing an Oscar-winning song. What is the song? What is the movie? If you know the answer, call 5717-MOVIES. Or if you want to do like Brad in Kentucky did, you can log on to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.
Okay, we should also mention here, Kristen, for everybody, that you and I are going to be hosting a standalone segment on WNYC coming up. It's going to be called, I think listeners will like this, Movie Date Presents Oscar, Totally Naked.
Yes, that's right. It's going to be a standalone hour special airing in New York, New Jersey, other stations around the country. We'll keep you abreast of all the details.
That's going to feature Oscar winners. It will feature some behind-the-scenes players and some Oscar heroes that we don't ordinarily hear from. So, we will keep you posted on the date, the time, but expect that Oscar weekend.
And we're very excited for it.
Very excited.
We hope that you all listen to it. And now let's get to this week's big movies. Let's begin with stand-up guys.
Give me the key.
It's new. It's a button.
It's automatic.
A button.
A button?
You push computers.
Here?
Yeah.
You put your foot on the brake at the same time.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we go now?
Well, it's a million dials here. I never saw these before. Man, this is like the future.
Now, Kristen, you have not seen that one, so I'll give you the basic rundown. You have Christopher Walken, Al Pacino, and Alan Arkin as a trio of aging mobsters, retired. Pacino plays a guy named Valentine. He comes out of prison after 28 years. He's got some mayhem to get out of his system. He's going to reunite with his old buddies for one night, have a blast. But, of course, Christopher Walken's character, Doc, has been assigned to kill him by morning.
Of course.
Will he or won't he?
Oh, don't do it. Don't do it.
Doc, come on. Well, so this falls into what seems to be a new genre, which is the Seth Rogen frat boy comedy, only with people who are over 60 and possibly over 70. There's this one, which is coming out now, but there's going to be another one in December called Last Vegas, which has, get this cast, Michael Douglas, Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, and Kevin Kline.
Wow.
Actually, on average, I actually did the math, this is about as much math as I'm capable of doing, but I averaged them out. Las Vegas actually has the slightly younger cast, believe it or not. So there's your fun fact. I'll say briefly, on paper, what more do you want? What a great cast.
And I love the poster. I have to say the poster.
Oh, the poster looks great. It's got a little bit of a Tarantino kind of edge to it.
Yeah, a little
right?
1970s sort of Starsky and Hutch sort of thing.
Yeah, it's got some good bluesy songs on the soundtrack. And, who doesn't want to see these three actors playing mobsters? Pacino, Walken, and then, of course, Alan Arkin as the kind of sort of a schlubby Jewish gangster in a way. He's actually very funny.
I'll take it. Yeah. It sounds awesome.
My favorite line from the movie is when Al Pacino says, Hirsch is the name, is Alan Arkin's character. He says, Hirsch, they just break him out of a retirement home. What have you been doing for the last 30 years? And Hirsch says, grieving mostly.
Aww.
Yeah. It's my favorite line. Here's the problem with this movie. Despite this great premise, I feel like the filmmakers basically just thought, oh, my God, we've got Pacino, Walken, and Arkin. Why don't we just turn the cameras on? And so that's really all you see are these long, long scenes of these three guys kind of standing around, talking, being charismatic and saying the occasional funny line. But that's really kind of all they're doing for the entire film is just being Pacino, Walken, and Arkin. Mm-hmm. And it's not quite enough to hold your interest. It feels like a real opportunity squandered to me.
Real World Seniors Edition.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to see it. That's really too bad.
Yeah.
I was getting seduced by the cast and the posters. Mm-hmm. You're saying it's a bad date.
Subpar date.
All right. Subpar date.
Yes.
That is not an endorsement.
No, it's not. I'm sorry to say.
Well, let's get to the movie that that I'm most excited about.
Yes,
because
I know.
I love a romantic comedy or a zom-rom-com, as you call it. So this is Warm Bodies.
What am I doing with my life? I'm so pale. I should get out more. I should eat better. My posture is terrible. I should stand up straighter. People would respect me more if I stood up straighter. What's wrong with me? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead.
That's actually directly from the first few seconds of the movie Warm Bodies. The character R.
He can't remember his entire name, just the first letter, R.
It opens with just a big monologue of him walking around. We're being introduced to his zombie world. We find out there's a zombie apocalypse that's happened. We have the regular humans who are trying to kill off all the zombies. But what we come to realize through R is that some of these zombies actually still have hearts that just need to be brought back to life. Maybe through a little bit of love.
There's still a little glimmer of humanity inside there.
There is. And maybe all you have to do is kidnap a human girl for that part of your heart to come back alive.
Yes.
And then that girl will love you because you kidnapped her. Because girls love being abducted by zombies.
They sure do.
They do. And there's no faster way to get a girl to fall in love with you than to kidnap her. There we go. Even if you're a zombie. Yeah. Or especially if you're a zombie.
I detect some sarcasm here from you, Kristen. Did you? We should mention that R, the lonely, alienated, lovelorn zombie, is played by Nicholas Hoult.
In a hoodie.
And Teresa Palmer plays the girl.
You might recognize him from About a Boy.
About a Boy, yes.
Which one of my favorites, love About a Boy. And you might recognize her from Take Me Home Tonight.
Oh,
Did I
you
just
might
make
not
that up?
Recognize her from Take Me Home Tonight. Did anybody see that movie?
I don't actually. Oh, God.
Very generous of you, Kristen.
Did I just make that up?
Very
was she
generous.
Not actually in that movie? I could have sworn I was in a bar the other night and it was on the big screen and I could have sworn I saw her.
Well, we can look that. We can look that up.
Okay, we'll look it up later, and then if I'm wrong, we'll issue a correction to it. Yeah. Anywho, so Rafer, what do you want to say about this?
Well, here's what I want to say. The director, Jonathan Levine, is I like his stuff. He directed a movie called The Whackness with Josh Peck, which
I hated that movie.
Oh, did you hate The Whackness? I actually really liked that movie.
That's just because you love Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen so much, and Mary-Kate was in that movie. You're just like, oh, Mary-Kate, yeah.
I don't see why I get docked points for that at all. But so that I liked that movie. That was a little autobiographical, growing up in New York in the 90s, you know, about kind of hip-hop and being a white hip hop fan and a stoner. I liked that movie. It had a little bit of heart to it and a certain charm. And Jonathan Levine also did 50-50 with Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You know, I cried like a little baby when I watched it. I cried and cried and cried.
I gave that movie a kind of a lukewarm but positive review when it came out. But I have to say, it has really grown on me in hindsight, that movie. The more I think about it, the more I like it. At any rate, I'm a fan of Jonathan Levine's stuff. Full disclosure, I interviewed him briefly for a story that I was doing on zombies. And he was talking about how what he liked about this movie was that now zombies, zombies are usually a metaphor for something, right? In the old days, in Night of the Living Dead, it was a metaphor for the Cold War or for, for radiation.
Right, or for other things.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really very open to interpretation. And lately, I think they're a metaphor for civilization's collapse, the financial crisis, terrorism,
for human alienation because of technology,
right.
The separation.
You name it. Global warming.
All that stuff.
Just about anything. What he was going for was a much more personal metaphor. That when you're a teenage boy, or I'm not sure if R is teenage, it's never quite stated. But when you're a young guy and you're in love with a girl and you're trying to impress her, you kind of feel like a zombie. You're trapped in your body. You can't articulate anything. You're afraid you smell bad. She's going to want to kiss you. You look like hell. And I like that idea. I like the whole premise of the film. But ultimately, I just didn't think there was that much really going on in this movie. As we were saying on the takeaway, once you get past that idea, once you get past the idea of this kind of young guy who's still got music, indie rock floating around in his head, even though he's a zombie, there's not much that really happens. Everything kind of bubbles along and nothing that dangerous happens, nothing that dramatic happens, nothing that funny really happens. It all just kind of – everything turns out pretty well and goes nicely and okay, and that's kind of it.
Oh.
I was disappointed.
But you love indie music.
I know I do.
And you love Rob Corddry, who's his best friend in
the
movie.
Yes, and I like Rob Corddry, and he's funny in it.
And you love love.
And I know you do. Love love. And I love
sometimes
vinyl.
He's
a vinyl fan, the zombie. And of
vinyl.
Course I love vinyl. So, he's hitting me in all the right Nick Hornby spots. But I just felt like ultimately the movie this is going to be a corny thing to say. Its heart wasn't pumping. There wasn't a lot of blood in its veins.
Oh, no, stop it. No, it's just.
I can't.
There's so many more directions.
There wasn't a lot going through its brain.
Oh, God.
Okay.
No. I'll stop. Okay,
stop. But Kristen, how did you like Warm Bodies?
I loved it.
Really? Loved it.
Liked it a lot.
Okay.
You know what? I'm a sucker for this kind of movie.
Yeah.
Politically, of course, I'm not supposed to be in favor of abducting girls to make them fall in love with you.
I understand. It's problematic, isn't it?
It's problematic. But I still think it's a really good date. And you know why? Because I just felt the love was really there.
You felt the love.
I felt the love. Yeah, and so it was fun.
Yeah, all right. Okay. So
it's
you
a liked, good date.
You liked that movie better than I did.
I could feel the love tonight.
Okay. Okay, Kristen.
Hold on. What was the song that they played by Bruce Springsteen in it?
Oh, Everybody's Got a Hungry Heart.
And you know what? Everybody's got a hungry heart, and so do I, Rafer. And
yes.
It was satisfied by this movie.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I went in with an open mind. I had high expectations for it.
Let's get to the movie that you most want to talk about, Rafer.
You mean bullet to the head?
They hurt you.
No, not yet.
You got a good-looking girl.
Got a few ideas what I'd like to do with her.
Touch her and I'll kill you with a rock.
Come here.
This is simple. We think you have something we want. A flash drive. Looks like I have something you want.
Okay. Don't hurt her.
What was that accent you used?
Bullet to the head? I just love saying bullet to the head.
what is that?
I don't know. It's just something about the that title makes me want to keep saying that. All right. This is sort of – you could kind of call this Sylvester Stallone's comeback. I think that is what it is, aside from the fact that he has been kind of around for a little bit, Rambo in 2008. And, of course, he had these two Expendables movies. But it has been a while since we've seen Stallone in kind of his own standalone action role, not without the rest of the 80s, you know, action heroes behind him in the ensemble. So this is, I think, in a way, his comeback. I'll give you the plot. As you said, he plays a racist hitman. The racism, by the way, Kristen, the racism is incidental. It's not as though this is Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. The racism is only a marginal aspect.
It's just so nonchalant. Like, yes. Who cares? Oh, whatever, oh, yeah. Racism. Let's not actually talk about the racism. Let's just be racist.
Okay. Well, he plays the oddly named Jimmy Bobo. A hitman in New Orleans, and he's been just on a job. And, of course, he's the kind of hitman that only kills the bad guys. He never kills the innocent people.
No women or children. He makes that very clear.
Yes, yes. And he – but, of course, he's double-crossed, and he wants to find the guys that have betrayed him. And through a strange plot twist that doesn't actually make any sense, he teams up with a Korean cop named Taylor Kwan. And they're going to solve this crime together, sort of reluctantly. They're, you know, Taylor doesn't like the fact that he's teamed up with a hitman, somewhat understandably, but, you know, they're the best each other has. And, of course, the hitman doesn't like the cop. And so there are some Asian – plenty of Asian jokes from the Jimmy Bobo character.
Yes. There's so much to learn about.
Now, Kristen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kristen, tell me...
About fortune cookies? About Eastern philosophy?
You didn't like when he called him Odd Job? Nice going, Odd Job.
Oh, God.
I have to say that line made me laugh. Okay, Kristen, were the Asian jokes, which I personally felt were in good fun and not really... I felt they strode up toward the line, but never really crossed it.
Mm.
Did that ruin the film for you? Did you like the film ultimately? Were there other things that ruined it for you, or what?
First of all, let me just say that the insults were not that clever. The writing was not that clever. The whole setup of the story is not especially clever.
Well, the script is definitely not clever. The script is the least clever thing about the film, for sure.
It's a lot of cliches. It's a lot of clunkiness. There were certain points where I actually, especially at the beginning of the movie, thought, I think I've seen better episodes of CSI.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just going to get crazy. I think I've seen better episodes of CSI : Miami. Okay?
Ouch.
Yes. But that being said, I think it's so bad that at points it's actually kind of good. Like when a movie is so bad that it just kind of hits that corner and turns it and turns all the way back around. And before you know it, it's actually kind of enjoyably awful.
All right. You know why, Kristen? Do you know why?
Why it's so enjoyably awful?
Yes. I'm going to truck this out. I'm going to throw this back at you. You always say you don't care about the director in a movie.
Oh, who cares about the director?
The reason this movie is so good is because of the director, Walter Hill. Walter Hill is
Where do I know Walter Hill from?
I'm just going to name him off for you. We'll just start with Streets of Fire.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Warriors.
Oh.
48 Hours.
Oh.
Long Riders.
You know, the movie did remind me a little bit of 48 Hours at certain points, where it's like, let's just get rid of the black guy and replace him with an Asian
guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And we'll switch the age roles, right? Instead of Nick Nolte as the grizzled cop and Eddie Murphy as the young criminal, you know, Sylvester Stallone will play the old criminal and the young Asian guy will play the young cop. I should say, by the way, Sung Kang, Sung Kang.
I've never. Is he in other stuff? I don't know him.
Why did I even bother trying to sort of Koreanize his name like that? Why did I even bother trying to put some kind of accent on that? Sung Kang is how I'm going to pronounce his name. He was in Fast Five. So he's been in a few things before. But anyway, he plays Taylor Kwan, and I shouldn't have overlooked him. But here's what I'm going to say. I think this movie was so much fun. It was so good. So nice to see a real solid, just slam bang, funny, fast moving action film directed by someone who knows what the hell he's doing. I just felt the movie was full of, aside from the cliches, which are definitely
and
there.
The bad writing.
The writing is not great.
The clunky delivery of that is not great. Yeah.
But I think that Sylvester Stallone still think he's got a good way with a punchline. And I think the film is just really colorful and full of a lot of really great details. I think all the supporting actors are really fun to watch. Christian Slater as a debauched politician.
You just like all the nudity in the movie, of course.
Okay, there's there's not that much of it. There are only two women in the whole film.
There's like the shower scene at the beginning.
You catch them both bathing, don't you?
And then there's a party scene where everybody's naked who's female and all the men are dressed.
Scene.
How would you forget that? You love naked women, Rafer.
You're right.
You love naked women.
That's
no.
A good point. I did forget that. But okay, you're right. But anyway, in terms of actual characters, there are really only two women, really only one. But you do get to see them both partially nude. It's an action film, Kristen, for God's sake.
Maybe that's why I don't like most of this. I mean, what do I get to do in this movie? Do I get to shoot people?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Do I get to kill people?
Do I get to say racist things?
No, I don't get to do any of that stuff. I just get to take a shower or take a bath. Or show up at a party naked and dance with another woman who's naked while a bunch of people watch me dance naked.
Oh, I forgot about that too. Okay. You're making me feel worse and worse about this. And I don't want to feel bad about liking this movie.
It's fine. You can enjoy it. I like my kidnapping abduction love story.
All right, okay.
You know what?
Okay, good point.
Guilty pleasure.
Thanks for throwing me that bone, Kristen.
It's fine.
Anyway, I especially after having seen that lousy Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and that lousy Jason Statham, Jennifer Lopez disaster, Parker. It's just really nice to see a fun, colorful, splashy, inventive action film that sort of gives you all the cliches, but I think has a lot of fun with it as well. And I got a real kick out of the movie. I loved it. Good date. Solid good date.
It's good bad. It's not a good movie, but if you like a bad movie and if you like laughing at a bad movie, and if your TV is broken and you can't watch CSI Miami, go see this movie. Go see Bullet to the Head.
Faint praise. I laughed with it.
Oh, really?
And at it, but mostly with it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I say solid date. Okay. Let's restate the trivia.
Oh,
Kristen?
Yeah. In honor of Warm Bodies, a kidnapping romance that has an Oscar-winning song in it features Angela Lansbury. What is the name of that movie and what is the name of that song? If you know the answer, call 5717-MOVIES.